It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, my co-host as always, Dan Berger, is here. And today, the return of Pats and Hall Winery. James Hall is here back with us. Good to see you, man.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Great to be back.
It's been a while.
Maybe 2 years, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I love your stuff. Let me just say that. Give everyone the history, as I always ask,
sure.
About Pats and Hall.
Well, we're celebrating a big milestone. This is our 30th anniversary.
Holy moly.
Yep. So in the summer of 1988, Donald and Heather Pats and Ann and James Hall got together, and we decided to start a wine company to make Chardonnay. We lived in Napa, and we were determined to seek out cool climate Chardonnay vineyards and make wines that reminded us of European wines. We wanted things that were higher acid, more mineral-driven. And we signed an agreement, scraped together $10,000, and made 400 cases of Napa Valley Chardonnay in 1988, which,
wow.
I got to say, really wasn't very good. But back in 88, you know, if you were enthusiastic and called on a lot of accounts, you could sell stuff. And so that's 30 years ago. Now, Pats and Hall is still making Chardonnay. We added Pinot Noir to the mix in 1995, and it's 20 individual wines now.
Wow. I know you guys have been around for a while. I didn't realize it was that long. I'd forgotten that.
It's kind of scary long, actually.
Let me ask Dan his thoughts on Pats and Hall. He invited James in today, and we're glad he did.
It's a wonderful project. It specializes in just the two varieties, the Burgundian varieties, and it's part of Carneros' legacy. And you have you start out pretty much with Carneros as your
yes.
base, and now you've expanded into other areas that are also cool climate.
Our first vineyard was Caldwell Vineyards off of Cruiser Road in East Napa, but the first really important vineyard was Hyde Vineyard. We started working with the Hyde family in 1990, and Larry Hyde and I have been good friends and making wine together. Larry started his own label called Hyde Wines, which I helped
H-Y-D-E.
Him. H-Y-D-E.
Yeah, sure.
Yep, and he just completed his family's winery in Carneros as well, which I had a little bit to do with. Gave him a few little pointers on floor drains and tanks. So the Hyde family and I go way back.
I think that's a band, Floor Drains and Tanks.
Yeah.
A punk band, yeah.
I think one of the most important aspects of this is that the Pats and Hall brand has been clearly representing a style that's really more Burgundian in a lot of ways. It's not as ostentatious as some. It doesn't have quite the same explosiveness. But when you get a bottle of... a 10-year-old bottle of Pinot Noir from a Pats and Hall vineyard, do you know that this is going to have a little bit more of the character of Burgundy? And that's really what you guys have attempted to do with both the white and the red.
I'm a big fan of Burgundy, mostly because it is typically artisan-driven. When you go to visit these estates, you meet the winemaker, you meet the guy that's responsible for growing the grapes. It's a very individual expression. And I came up through the cellar. For years, I worked the cellar floor. And I always wanted to shape the wines to my taste. And so I was naturally drawn to Burgundy, mostly because as I was exploring winemaking style, I realized that these traditional Burgundian winemaking techniques showed the vineyard personality better than more commercial techniques. And so I related to that. And so I've been using these very minimal interventionist winemaking qualities, and it's working out with 20 different wines now, and each one tastes different.
Give us your background again. Did you go to UC Davis?
I did go to UC Davis.
That's what I thought, yeah.
But I got lured away by a job offer at Flora Springs Winery in St. Helena. And I'd gone to visit, and Ken Dice, the winemaker, basically offered me a job on the spot, and I left Davis and became an assistant winemaker. And 2 years later, he said, well, good thing you didn't get that degree from Davis. I don't think I would have hired you. He
really?
Went to Fresno.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
But I was blessed by working with a great mentor. Ken taught me. I mean, we were doing barrel-fermented Chardonnay back in 1983 when that was considered revolutionary in Napa, which is kind of odd.
Well, the Chard, what year is this?
This is 2014.
It's gorgeous. I am extremely happy. Dan, your thoughts?
Full malolactic fermentation, some new oak flavors, but what's really the center of the wine is that beautiful fruit. It does have a citrusy component in the middle of the palate, and when you finally get to the aftertaste, you realize this thing was built with food in mind, and without the food, I mean, we're having a wonderful time with it, but if we had a nice plate of fish in front of us, this thing would go down faster.
I agree. Yeah, that finish is...
It's a gorgeous
finish. It makes you crave food. Mike, I'm hungry. Go do some clams, will you? And oysters. Thanks.
Well, this wine is from a vineyard named Ritchie Vineyards in Russian River. Kent Ritchie planted this vineyard back in the mid-70s. And it's on Gold Ridge Series Sandy Loam. To me, this really speaks to that quality that Russian River has, that green apple, the acidity, but then there's richness and a softness to it as well.
Yeah, I agree. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, who's with us every week, he's doing something. I don't know if he's judging.
He's a judge, and I'm a judge. Both of us have been judging the Press Democrat Wine Competition.
That's right.
Today. And he's off doing the dinner for the judges.
And you got to split at 5:45. You got to.
I got the same thing. I'm doing a dinner at
in Geyserville.
In Geyserville, right?
At where?
Up at Clos du Bois.
Oh well, yeah. There you go.
So we're really talking about some interesting long-term history here, because Chardonnay of this nature has. Other people are doing similar things, but what's nice about this is that this project has stayed true to its roots all the way through. The style has never really wavered. And this Chardonnay, and you've got another Chardonnay here, James, that looked like it might be a similar style, but with a slightly different fruit source.
What this is?
No, I poured you just a splash of the Ritchie again.
Okay.
Just to keep your glass moving. But the second wine, which we should go to next, is farmed by a Sonoma institution, the Martinelli family.
Oh, yeah.
The Martinellis moved to Russian River back in the previous century, and this vineyard is called Ziotoni Ranch. It's on Fry Road, and it's named in honor of Tony. Uncle Tony is the translation, and
Mike.
He managed all of the Martinelli vineyards for many, many years until Lee Martinelli took over. So now George Martinelli, the latest of the farmers, is managing this site for me, and I've been making this wine since 2004. So this is our 10th vintage.
And this is also a 14.
This is also a 14, yes.
Okay, wow.
So this is one of the coolest vineyards I work with. It overlooks the Laguna de Santa Rosa, which is where a lot of the cold air in that area settles, and the minerality and the structure of this wine is really something to behold.
Speaking of minerality, Dan.
Yeah.
Am I correct in saying there's a lot of minerality in this, more so than the other Chard?
Yeah, I think that this one doesn't show the broadness that the first one shows.
I have to say I like the first one better, but this is unique.
Well,
and I'm not turning this down.
No, there are two different styles here. This one here is a little bit more lemony or, I don't know, citrusy.
Yeah.
And that characteristic is really classic for that particular cool region. That Laguna de Santa Rosa is very cool, gets a lot more fog. The other region probably doesn't have quite as much fog, but it does have cool weather. So both of them have great acidity. This one, I think the acidity is a little bit more pronounced.
Yeah, the lemony part?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
That's
sort
a gorgeous
of like
flavor.
A Gravenstein apple and lime peel come to mind.
Let's talk about Pats and Hall again. The website is patshall.com. Pats is P-A-T-Z. You can figure out how to spell Hall. It's G-R-P-X-3 or H-A-L-L, whichever you want to go for. You've got the Sonoma House at Pats and Hall. Talk about that. You know, I've been meaning to get there for years.
Oh, still come down.
Yeah, I've got
to
do it.
I'd love to show you around.
Tell everyone about it.
Well, I had the privilege of building my dream winery on 8th Street East in Sonoma in 2007.
Unbelievable.
And so a dream come true after many years of working in other people's wineries. And for several years, I drove past this house that was about a quarter mile away from the winery. And I was watching them build it, and I thought, that is so huge and colossal. It's got to be a winery. Well, about 3 years ago, a for sale sign went up, and I stopped in, and it was a spec home. This guy had built a, as he called it, a Tuscan villa.
Wow.
And it was literally down the street.
A bicycle ride from the square and down the street from the winery.
And he was desperate to sell the thing.
Wow.
The poor guy had started construction in the winter of 2009.
Don't tell me he was an attorney from San Francisco.
No.
That seems to happen all the time. These guys come up here. And never mind.
So we made him an offer he couldn't refuse, and we converted it from his Tuscan dream house into our new tasting room. So, one of the things that, you know, being a family business that we wanted to promote was the sense of coming to our house and being our guest. And so buying a house made a lot of sense. So it has a beautiful view and a big living room where we host people.
Yeah, I'm looking at that photo. The Sonoma House at Pats and Hall opens 7 days a week. And how does that work? Is it you have to make reservations?
We prefer reservations so we know how many people are coming.
Sure.
And we can prepare your space. During the week, to be honest, you can drop in and we can handle it.
Wow. That's amazing. You've been there, Dan.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous property. You know, a lot of Sonoma County has properties like this, and Napa does as well. We are very blessed in this whole region to have so many unique opportunities. And, oh, he wants the other Chardonnay going backwards.
Well, I'm trying to A-B the first one from the second one here.
I'm particularly impressed by these Chardonnays because 2014 was a really wonderful vintage, but the opportunities to make a broader and richer style of wine were evident, and this is really restrained, and it shows a lot of delicacy. It's got some of that Pouligny-Montrachet kind of character to it. It's really Burgundian.
14 was warm, and I don't own any of these vineyards. These are all owned and farmed generally by the people that own the ground.
Right.
And that turned out to be a big advantage in 2014 because they had the opportunity to pick their own vineyards in a very timely way. And as you say, Dan, it was a warmer year that was lower in acid. So I was able to pull the trigger on these sites and really capture, I think, a freshness that was maybe not going to be so easy to do if I had to pick all these grapes myself.
Now, besides obviously the winery, and if Barry were here, he'd tell us about the availability at Bottle Barn. You got Pats and Hall all over Bottle Barn, right?
We do. Mostly Sonoma Coast wines and some of the single vineyards. I believe Chenoweth Ranch, one of our single vineyard wines, has been represented there. Also Jenkins Ranch, a vineyard located near the town of Sebastopol.
Barry Herbs just texted us. Bottle Barn carries most of the Pats and Hall lineup. FYI, both Chard and Pinot, including Magnums and Half Bottles.
Yeah.
Wow. Half Bottles. Never understood that theory.
I suppose if you're like, you know, picnicking or something.
But yeah, well, then I would get two full bottles if I'm picnicking.
I personally think the perfect size is a Magnum.
Yeah, the Magnum.
Magnums are actually the best aging vessel.
Really?
Absolutely. Anything larger theoretically is good, but you always have to worry about whether that cork fits properly. Mm-hmm. Mm. And a Magnum, corks almost always fit right, and you get that much more in terms of the fruit. You save the fruit, and it ages beautifully.
Hear, hear. Particularly sparkling wine. Mm.
You guys make sparkling wine?
Well, that is a new project of mine.
Really?
That's what happens when you put a winemaker in charge of a business plan. They come up with wacky ways to lose money. but yes, 2012 was the first year I produced a sparkling wine, and we just disgorged our 2013,
wow,
which is available at the Sonoma House exclusively. So that's almost 5 years entourage. So I'm a procrastinator when it comes to tirage. The longer, the better. And so,
again, geek alert with tirage.
It's the number.
An entourage.
Yes. So
most people think of that TV show when you hear entourage.
So sparkling wine is fermented twice. The first fermentation produces a table wine in effect, but much lower alcohol and higher in acid. The second fermentation takes place in the bottle. And that is called the tirage fermentation. The wine is then left on the yeast in the bottle to age. So with 5 years on the yeast before removing the yeast, adds complexity, depth, aromatics. And so that's before the disgorgement process.
Right. Disgorgement I can get. I don't want to go any more on that, but my mind is going, oh, that might be funny, and then all my listeners and you folks would go, Steve, that's not funny. Never mind. Okay, it's California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Need a Bottle Barn in that spot, yeah. Barry Herps from Bottle Barn is judging the... Chronicle.
Press Democrat.
Good. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Steve Falk. The Press Democrat annual wine event and judging competition. So is Dan Berger. Dan's got to leave a little early to head to Clos de Bois for a dinner. And Barry is having a dinner following the judging at, where is he? You know?
Same place.
Oh, same place.
We're going to the same thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, I get it. All right. Anyway, our guest today is James Hall from Patzen Hall. It's PATZ. Go to patzhall.com. And more importantly, visit the Sonoma House in, of all places, Sonoma. You know, I'm just looking at some of these photos, man, and I got to get out there. I've been wanting to for a long time.
Give me a call.
I will, man.
I'll give you the personal tour.
Right on. Can I stay overnight?
No beds, but we have
a
couch.
Yeah, but you have a bunch of couches.
We got a couch. We got an 8-footer that will fit you like a glove.
It is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. And Barry Herps, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, who's usually with us, is a judge at the Press Democrat Wine... What do they call it?
Competition.
It is a competition, yeah. So is Dan Berger, and Dan has to leave in a little bit because he's hooking up with everyone up at Clos de Bois for a dinner. This is like for the judges?
Yes, this is the judges' dinner.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. How many days do you judge?
Two. We did about 112 wines today, and we'll do about 35 to 50 tomorrow, and
wow,
that'll be it.
Wow. An amazing event, and we'll have Steve Falk, the CEO of the PD, back on. This was his idea. He was involved with the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition when he worked there, and then he came up here to be CEO of the PD, and he's restarted it for the North Bay. And it's I know that the Chronicle competition has like 8 million wines and something like that, and Steve Falk actually lowered the number, made it really North Bay.
It's more of a best of the best competition.
Right.
They only will be publishing the results of the gold medals. And the gold medal wines are always exceptional, every single one of them. And so there's no secondary, third best here. This is all very, very high-quality stuff. And so the judges are encouraged to look for the very best in each category. And so it's a limited number of awards, but top-quality stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And as we've done every year, we'll be reporting it and commentating on it and commentating? Is that a word?
Why not?
Okay, it is now. Mike, write it down. Our guest today is James Hall from Pats and Hall Winery. I was amazed to be reminded, because it's been a couple of years since James has been in, and that they've been doing this since like 88.
30 years.
Wow.
Only 30 vintages. Can you imagine a chef only making 30 entrees? That would be, you'd still be wet behind the ears.
A good point.
Yeah.
I like that. It's patshall.com. Pats is P-A-T-Z. You'll figure out how to spell Hall. Patshall.com, and they've got the Sonoma House in, of all places, Sonoma. It's the Sonoma House at Pats and Hall. You've got to check this place out, and I'm going to, too. And when you do check it out, if you're there on maybe a Friday night, you'll probably see me sleeping on the couch in the living room. I'm looking forward to that.
We have a great internet connection, too. You could do your show there.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that. That would be cool.
On location.
Yeah, man. Dan, I'll turn it over to you with some more questions or comments with James here.
First of all, let's talk a little bit about your vineyard sourcing for your Pinot Noirs. This one we're trying here is a fabulous vineyard from the aromatics and the taste of the wine, but tell us a little bit about it.
So the first Pinot Noir year for us was 1995. So from 88 to 95, we only made Chardonnay. And we focused mostly in Carneros. But as we branched out, we realized that the best Chardonnay and particularly Pinot grapes were grown in Sonoma. So we spent several years tracking down our first Pinot Noir. And now I make 12 different Pinot Noirs.
Wow.
Yeah. And this the wine we're tasting right now is from Two Dryers Vineyard, which is owned and managed by the Sanchetti family. They're longtime Sonoma grape growers. Mel Sanchetti and Warren Dutton went to high school together.
Well, there you go.
Two pillars of California grape growing.
Yeah.
And so Mark Sanchetti came to me and found an apple orchard where they had an old apple dryer, two apple dryers to be exact, and we planted 12 acres of Pinot Noir and called it Two Dryers Vineyard. So this is an example of one of the wines that you can taste if you come and visit. This is a Sonoma House exclusive, but I wanted to bring something that shows kind of the newer side of our vineyards, and so this is only the second bottling of this wine. So a new vineyard planted with Dijon selections farmed by Mark, who is one of the most impressive grape growers I've met. And it's gorgeous.
Dan?
A lot of fruit, a lot of wonderful bright black cherry and raspberry kind of fruit. The oak is really very mild. It's almost non-existent, but it's obviously there for its maturity purposes. And what's really nice is that it's an underscoring the acid that's in here so that you can put it away in the cellar for 3 to 5 more years. It'll be a fabulous wine in 5 years.
This vineyard is located south of Sebastopol, about 4 miles. So we're getting into an area that some people refer to as the Sebastopol Hills. That cold air off of the Pacific hits Freestone first and then rolls up into those Sebastopol Hills.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of cold air, but there's sun there as well. With the elevation on those hills, the fog burns off a little earlier, so you get that combination of the ripeness and the fruit development. But that acidity core you're speaking of, Dan, I think is really a key point of this wine and something that I'm looking for in all the vineyards who I work with.
So you brought 2 Chards and 2 Pinots?
2 Pinots, yeah.
Have we tasted the second Pinot yet?
No, we haven't. We can do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, just give me a squish here.
So the second wine is a vineyard called Bootlegger's Hill, which, as you can imagine, comes from an era during Prohibition And it was, I imagine, a good place to have a still because there was a great well and there was a very large apple orchard that kept the federales out.
Bootleggers Hill. I love it.
So it's off of Bodega, right before you get to the town of Occidental. Yeah. And it's a really cool vineyard. It faces to the north, so it does not have the same sun effect as a lot of vineyards, but it's close enough to Occidental that it has that great chilling cold air off the Pacific.
Almost a cranberry kind of an aroma.
Cranberry, man. Yeah, really I really lovely. Do. And, and the difference between these two Pinots.
Yeah, and I think that's really what the secret is that James has been looking for distinctively different styles. Well, you could make a blend if you wanted to, but that wouldn't that would sort of defeat the purpose.
I do make a blend, actually, the Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir, which is 20 different small family vineyards, but mostly because to sell wines nationally, particularly through distributors, you need to have more than 400 cases or else they laugh you out the door. And so these wines are all in the 400 to 500 case range.
Wow.
So
that's not much.
That's not much.
No.
It's got a little of the black pepper component, just a trace of the black pepper, and I really like that.
I'm getting that too. Of course, most of the time I don't get it until Dan mentions it, and then I go, "Yeah, I got. Yeah, I'm getting that. I, you know, although I'm getting better after all these years."
To me, there's also this black cherry component that speaks to the heart of Russian River, but it has more of that minerality and structure to the palate than the two dryers. I think this is going to be a very long-lived wine. It has all the components to age beautifully. And this is a 2014, so, you know, now going on 4 years. And to me, it seems a little tight and still a little young.
Well, I was just going to say it does taste awfully young. It should have been released probably a year from now, but that's all right. We'll enjoy it.
Dan, lay it down, Burger. How long will you lay this down?
I think this one's got another extra couple of years. So this is like seven. This is 5 to 7 years. The other one I'd go for maybe five would be fine. This one I think about seven or even maybe 8 or 9. Mm. The acidity in here is really what carries it.
The finish. And I hadn't really thought about it, because I try not to think when I'm on the air. But when you said black pepper, man, I'm still in the finish. And I took a sip 3 minutes ago, and I'm still getting that black pepper, which I love on a finish in a Pinot.
Cool climate will give you that occasionally. So okay. That's really the secret.
All right, Dan Burger is heading to Geyserville to Clos du Bois. For the dinner for the wine judges at the Press Democrat competition. And again, it's Pats and Hall Winery, P-A-T-Z, patshall.com. James Hall, one of my favorite dudes, and he hasn't been in for a while, so I'm so glad to see you again. Thanks, man.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Hey, it's our pleasure.